Father in heaven, we come before your presence this morning, knowing that you're a holy God and you are, in your grace, gathering people, men and women, boys and girls, from all over the city and all over this world to worship your name, to give you praise and adoration and glory. This morning, Father, I pray specifically for Synergy Church next to us, that you will indeed visit them this morning. Cause your spirit to stir them toward faith and repentance. Father, I pray that your word will be declared faithfully, and I pray that your people there will be strengthened and encouraged in Christ. I pray, Father, that this church will be a light to the world, a salt that is needed for our culture. And I ask, Father, for you to bless them today and in the days ahead, and that you will grant that the gospel will go forward on this small spot in Jacksonville, here in the corner of Tracy Road, that you will use this property that's set aside here, that you'll use it in such a way that your name will be exalted. We ask, Father, for your grace in these things. Amen. Amen. All right. So turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 10. Psalm 10, as you may be aware, or you'll be made aware here later this week or today, on page 7, we go through the Psalms, specifically in prayer meeting on Sunday nights, but we're also using the Psalms to meditate on throughout the week. And there has been a handful of times when various people have asked, how exactly do I do that personally? And how do I try to meditate on the Psalms, or even meditate, or kind of my morning devotions, what they look like, and kind of what I think through when I try to spend time in the Word? The Lord has blessed me to have that time, and unlike many of you who have to get up and head into work every morning, I have an extended time that I can spend. So I realize that. But my thought was this morning is that I'd be able to share a little bit of what I think through and how I try to work through these things. I have a journal. This is my journal. I've had it for many years. The leather I've had for many years. The journal I can pull out and put a new one in. It's like just a moleskin. And that's the fantastic scribbling of me this past week. I usually write through a page every day. But as we start, I want us to look together at Psalm 10, and we'll use this because I'll be meditating on Psalm 10 this week, as I trust and hope some of you will be doing the same thing. Look with me at Psalm 10. And I haven't read this previously, so bear with me as we work through this together. Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? And why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you, the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. All right, so I am more and more convinced as I pray for us as a congregation and as I seek to shepherd well that the Psalms are going to be and are absolutely vital for our congregation. Not only because they have been a source of incredible help for the church throughout the centuries, but the unique place that we're in as a congregation in a world that emotionally is all over the place and has no bearing and no anchor in their souls. The Psalms describe and explain and cry out to God with every single emotion or affliction or desire or longing of a person's heart. And so we have this being described before us. But also one of the doctrines that is most being attacked in our culture today is the doctrine of man or the doctrine of humanity. What does it mean to walk with God? What does it mean for us to be identified? And what is our identity? How do we find our identity? And how do we understand that as human beings, as God has made us who we are, and how are we to live? The Psalms deal with all of these things that are, I think, of upper importance right now in our culture and for our congregation. That said, I make a habit of taking the psalm, and I will begin my morning usually with my Bible and my journal open in front of me, very much like this. And my worship journal is also right there, usually above my Bible. And I begin my morning by asking the Lord to open my eyes that I may see Jesus. And then I begin reading the psalm. And typically I'll read the psalm for the week. And every single morning, I'll read the same psalm, so that that repetition is necessary for Shane, because I'm slow. I never get it the first time through. It always requires pounding in for me. And so every morning, I read all the way through the psalm and try to spend that time slowly reading through. I actually have a ruler because I read so much that it's easy for me to scan without thinking. And so I actually have a ruler that I usually place on my Bible and allow it to slow me down so that I can read more carefully and more diligently. Most mornings, as I'm reading through, I'm looking for a verse that I can write out so that I can spend some time lingering on a particular verse. And so I'll read through the entire psalm. And usually, like tomorrow morning, I'm looking at this psalm. It's 18 verses. I'll usually find a verse from like verses 1 through 4 that I'll likely write out and spend time meditating on Monday. And then Tuesday, like verses 5 through 8, I'll probably find a verse somewhere in there that I'll be meditating on. So each morning of the week, and then, of course, Wednesday will be somewhere in the middle of the psalm and then moving on. So I'm moving through the entire psalm. I'm actually writing a verse, usually a different verse every morning, from a different section of that particular psalm. And so this week I'll be in Psalm 10 all week long, And each morning I'll be pulling out a verse. And then I begin by writing a Psalm 9 at the top of my journal, and then leave it blank beside that spot where I write. Last week it was Psalm 9. That's what I'm looking at right now. Psalm 10. Write Psalm 10 at the top of my journal, and then beside it, I don't write anything yet. Underneath that Psalm 10, then I would write the verse. And so let's jump in, and I'll give you verse 12 is a verse that I have marked here in my Bible. And if you look at my Bible, you'll find that the Psalms are peppered with lines and scratches and not a lot of writing. I usually don't write a lot of words, but I'm usually marking or connecting things, underlining things, so that I can be quick to pull from the different Psalms. But at some point in the past, I've underlined verse 12. And so look with me there at verse 12. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand, forget not the afflicted. And so that particular verse will say that sometime in the middle of the week, I will write that verse, Psalm 10 at the top of my page, and then I'll write the verse out. And usually I'll write that out so that I can slow down and think about it more carefully, because if I don't, it'll be overlooked easily. When I go through this, I begin thinking about how I'm going to pray that psalm. And so after I write out the psalm, then usually I'll write it out with a pen, but then my prayers are more scattered and able to change and move around. So I've learned that I need to write my prayers in a pencil, because sometimes I'll erase and want to rewrite it so that I won't be heretical in my praying or whatever. But anyway, I'll write my prayers in a pencil, and I'll begin by asking the Lord to or acknowledging who the Lord is in this. So in this particular psalm, then I would begin by affirming who God is. So arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand, forget not the afflicted. And so here I could speak of in my prayer, Lord, you're a God who is moving. You're not a God who's standing still or far away. You're a God who will arise. Your God who is strong, who can lift up your hand and work mighty things in this world. And Father, you are a God who is omniscient. You know all things. You will not forget the afflicted, because you're a God who knows all things. And so I could either speak all three of those attributes or characteristics, or I may just pick one of those. But usually I will begin by my writing out my pencil, Lord, you are one who, and I begin describing God using that particular psalm, that particular verse in that psalm. Once I speak of that, then I begin thinking about what I just wrote, and usually I'm staring at it, and I begin saying, Lord, how do I, in my heart, deny that? How do I rebel against this? Well, Lord, I often feel like you're really far away, and you're not moving in my life, and nothing is happening. And I confess that that is not true. Lord, I confess that I do not tremble when I think of your hand moving and your hand doing great things. In fact, I doubt with all the problems and struggles that I'm thinking through and considering. Lord, I often doubt that you have a strong hand. And I ask for you to forgive me in that. And Lord, there are so many that I wonder, not only in my life, but also in others, whether you have forgotten them or not. They've been struggling, or they've been dealing with this sin or struggle for so many years. Lord, I confess that I often foolishly assume that you've forgotten those who are afflicted. And so forgive me. So you see what I just did? I went from the actual attribute of that particular verse, or the attributes in this case, to then actually confessing my sin using those particular attributes. And drawing in my weak names and faces of people, many of you, starting out usually, my prayers often start with my own heart, but then it moves quickly to Ashley, and then to my kids, and then to our congregation. And so that's kind of the way that happens. And then once I've confessed that sin, then I turn to Christ. And when I think of Christ, I think of Christ as, obviously, this is no surprise to anybody, as prophet, priest, and king. And so I begin thinking, how has Christ revealed himself, or shown himself, to be one who has arisen and come to be in our presence? And that is Emmanuel, God with us. That's a pretty easy, straightforward way of the Lord has arisen. He has arisen. He has sent his son into our midst. Lift up your hand. The Lord is strong and mighty. And Christ himself showed himself to be powerful in the Gospels, not only over people and things, but the seas and the winds and the storms. He showed himself to be powerful over disease and the afflicted. He showed himself to be powerful over sin and rebellion. And he conquered in those ways. And so I would write some of those. I wouldn't write all of these, because you can see this page can get filled up pretty quick. And so I would think of Christ as prophet. How does he reveal himself to affirm these attributes that I'm seeing here in this psalm, this verse, Psalm 10, verse 12. And then I turn to Christ as priest. And I think of Christ as priest as one who, if Christ as king, if Christ as prophet is one who's informing me, giving me help in my ignorance, then Christ as prophet, Christ as priest is one who is stirring my heart to not simply know that, but actually believe that. And that's where most of our problem is. It's not in what we know or don't know. It's usually, are we believing what we know about God? And so I'll pray then, or write a sentence. Usually it's a sentence for each one of these. I'm talking through it, but when you're writing, of course, you're slowing down and you're having to think through this more carefully. So it's a sentence for prophet, Christ as prophet, and then a sentence for Christ as priest. And I'll say, Lord, help me trust that you are one who can move heaven and earth, the mountains. You can calm the seas. You healed the sick and the wounded, and you can bring health and good and flourishing into my life, into my family's life, into our congregation. Right? That's me crying out to Christ as priest, and then acknowledging Christ as king. Then says, Lord, help me today rejoice and praise your name when I see you working. And remind me as I'm going through my day that as I see you working, that I will not simply just overlook it, but that I will actually see you mightily working to reign in your kingdom to accomplish things. And this week, even many, many times, the Lord's blessed that particular endeavor. And he's shown me where there's different people saying things or doing certain things where I'm just so thankful that the Lord is moving and working. And so in my journaling, then I write a sentence or two about an attribute that is specifically coming out of chapter 10, verse 12 in this case. And then I write a confession from out of that attribute. And then I try to work through prophet, priest, and king. So that's three more sentences usually. I don't hit these as convinced as Jason is that I am wooden and I would never get off the beaten path. Every once in a while, I like fringe out and do something crazy and just stay on prophet for a while, or I stay on God's attributes for a while. So, but I am very uncomfortable during that time. That's true. So, then I end my journaling of this particular verse. And again, this is one verse. I end by, what does faith and repentance look like? What does it mean for me to trust this Christ who is prophet, priest, and king? And what does it mean for me to repent? Usually that repentance isn't just me saying I'm sorry personally, but it's me actually going to someone and actually verbally asking for forgiveness. Or usually that means that I'm physically, tangibly going to go to someone or somewhere to physically do something that is a deliberate act of repentance, where I'm actually getting up and getting out of my seat. And I'll actually write that down. I need to give so-and-so a call. I need to text this person and let them know I appreciate them. Or I need to. So that's repentance. That's not just this wonderful thought in my head. I actually try to affirm that. So and actually act on that. That's Psalm 10, verse 12. That'll probably happen around Wednesday of this week. That's my psalm reading. And if you are struggling with devotions in any way, I commend this to you. Now, a lot of this I just spoke of are the practices. You've heard me say this before. I'm commending the principle, and that is spending some lingering time with the Lord and taking the time to slow down enough to actually write that out and do that. And that would be helpful. And so I'm commending the principle. If you do it exactly the way I just spoke, that's great. If you head off on a tangent and you do something different, but you're spending time lingering on a text and allowing the Lord to press in you who He is and how He's accomplished these things for you, then that's what I'm after. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Let me end by saying this and ask if anybody has any questions. For years, I'm looking to see Grace sitting in here. So I can talk about her. That's not true. If she's not in here, I'm more careful. My daughter. For years, Grace and Evan, and when they were younger, I wanted to help Ashley with the morning. I realized that each morning was a challenge, specifically in our home, probably not in yours, maybe in yours. But each morning is a challenge. And so one of the things I wanted to do, because I wasn't with them all day, every day, with the homeschooling, was I tried to help Ashley with the morning, kind of the morning start. If we can get heading in the right direction right out of the chute, then everything else can hopefully fall into place. And so we had a routine, and both of the kids were very aware of that. They had to get up at a certain time. They had to get their breakfast. They had to get their pajamas. They had to make their bed. They had to, it's been so long ago, but make their bed. Get their pajamas under the pillow, because that's where pajamas are supposed to stay, and get dressed, eat their breakfast, do their quiet time. And the quiet time was the thing they needed to do at the end of all of the list of things. And when they were done with their quiet time, they would come into the living room and we're ready for school. And it had to be by a certain time. And I would be notified if that was not done by a certain time. And then we would have the opportunity. I would have the opportunity to encourage my children to do that. So anyway, their devotions was the last thing, and I could usually dictate what was going on by all of the things that preceded by their devotion. If it was very quickly written and it was chicken scratch, then I knew that they were frantic trying to get what they needed to get done and weren't all together on that. So again, the practice is not what I'm after. Okay, the principle is what I'm after. So at a young age, I asked the children, both Grace and Evan, and of course as they grew, it got different, or it became more nuanced. But at the beginning, I basically asked them to get a journal, and all of them, we'd make a trip. We'd go and get, of course, Chick-fil-A, and then go to Michael's or somewhere to get their journal that they can personally pick out like they wanted to. And so that was their journal. And I'd say every day I want you to read the passage that is in our worship journal. So this week they would be reading 2 Corinthians 2 through 2 Corinthians 6 at the bottom here. Depending on how old they were, I would ask them to read the entire chapter. Or if they were younger, I'd ask them to read a particular paragraph. But out of that, find somewhere in there that you would write out the verse in there. So they were writing out the verse. It was odd sometimes, the verses they'd find. It was amazing. It's like, why'd you pick that verse? They just thought it was funny sometimes. But anyway, they'd pick a verse and they'd write it out. So their penmanship was something I was looking for. And then I'd say, answer these three questions. What does that verse say about God? What does that verse say about you? And what does that verse call you to do? And they would write, I tell them, you have to write a sentence for each one of those. And they usually wouldn't write the questions, because we know the questions. What does that verse say about God? What does that verse say about you? And then what is that verse calling you to do? And I'd ask them to write that out, and they'd write those three sentences. And then on Sunday afternoons, after lunch usually, for the longest time, we didn't have Sunday evening prayer time. And so in the Sunday evening, I'd ask them to bring me their journals. And then and then this would happen. And they'd walk in there and they'd get their journal and they'd come back. And if they were young enough, they'd sit in my lap. If they weren't, then we'd sit on the couch together and we'd go through the journal. And it would be an opportunity for me to talk to them about what they were reading and why did you say that and why are you doing that. A lot of times it was, I can tell that you were going through the motions and you really could care less about this. Let's talk about your heart. Not so much about the passage as much as it about your heart. So I was able to be able to tell not only what they were reading and being able to talk about Scripture, but it also gave me an opportunity to talk about different things. And then usually after that, I would send them to put together their week. And so both of them would usually write out, these are the tests I've got to take this week. These are the books I'm supposed to read. These are the things I'm supposed to do. And they get their week started on Sunday evening after dad time. So now you do realize that didn't happen every single week, always perfectly. My world's just like your world, and it's always flying apart, and kids are sick, and things are happening, and stuff is going on. So that was the ideal, and that's what we tried to do, and we did that a good bit of the time, but it wasn't ever perfect. It was always a struggle. But my point is that devotion that they had was very similar to what I just described, but mine was a little more technical, right? But with the kids, it was, what does this verse say about God? What does this verse say about me? And then what is this verse calling me to do? So there you go. Hopefully, since I was having to pull this out of the hat in the last 30 minutes after Sam called me and said he wasn't going to show up, hopefully that was encouraging or helpful. Maybe it gave you some opportunity to think through your own time with the Lord and how that works. Any questions about that? Any questions or any comments concerning those things? And I have these journals. I'm getting ready to finish this one out. I have these journals that I've been doing for years, and I've got them stuffed away behind some of my books in my library. And they've gathered up, and it's interesting every once in a while when I'm moving things around or I pull a book off and I see it back there, I'll pull it out, and it's from 5 years ago, and I'm able to read some of the things that the Lord has been doing. And that's an encouragement as well. There are a bunch of them that I've ended up just throwing away, because the point isn't to have those or for anybody else to have them. The point is what the Lord is doing as I'm working through that. So anything?
I just have a quick comment. I had no idea you were such a wild man. You would, maybe spend 2 sentences like a prophet.
That's right. Break out and be unhinged for sure. So in that time, just so you know, in that time, I will usually turn from the psalm to the particular chapter that we're reading for the New Testament chapter reading. And I'll do the same thing with the New Testament chapter reading. I'll pick a verse out of there. But knowing that tomorrow we'll be reading Second Corinthians 2, Tuesday, Second Corinthians 3. So I'm not lingering on that chapter all week long. I'm doing a chapter every day, just like you guys do. And usually, honestly, I know that there's many in here that are doing the same thing. And so I'll be praying for individuals in the church. I'll be using this because I know many in the congregation are reading through this as well as I am. And so I'll be using that for that reason. So I do the New Testament scripture reading as well. And then, of course, I use page 6 and 7 to pray through and to think through in that way. I have found it interesting that family worship for us, family discipleship, was something that it was easier in that my kids, one particularly, was very rigid in his desire to make sure everything happened when it needed to. So that was helpful, because even when Evan came home for the summer, the first night he was home, are we ready to do family worship? I mean, it was like at 9 o'clock. That's what you're supposed to do. I will say that it's become more difficult when it's just Ashley and I, because we're often getting things done and trying to try to do things. And so when it's just the two of us, it's actually more difficult than it was when the kids loved holding us accountable. And so they ended up driving the rigidity of the family discipleship more than even Ashley and I are able to. So it is of utmost importance for us to be confident that where we are is where the Lord wants us. Now, when I say that, a lot of people assume that if we're where the Lord wants us, then everything's going to be great. No. But when everything isn't great, because it hardly ever is, usually it's very hard. If we know this is where the Lord wants us, then we can endure whatever. But we've all been in wrong places because we were not faithful and we were not being where we needed to be. And we're going through hardship. And that's turmoil. That's despair. That's sorrow, misery. But when we're going through hardship and difficulty, knowing I'm here because the Lord has placed me here and the Lord's blessed me with this responsibility, we can endure with His strength, with His wisdom. And so, brother, I would encourage you to continue to trust the Lord in that. And He has the Lord is best at humbling us and showing us how much we can't and how much He can. For sure. Yes, sir. Jamie. Absolutely. Amen. It's the air we breathe. It's that vital. I tell people on occasion, and I didn't know whether I was going to mention this or not, but I will. But I tell people, I said, this is my superpower. The thing that keeps Shane going is this. And it's because it's not because of what's in it necessarily. In fact, you would probably read it and be just incredibly underimpressed. But it is this that's caused me, it's the tool that's caused me to spend time with my God and has allowed me to continue when nothing else will. Many of us are in places, most of us in here this morning are in places that desperately need this superpower. I hope you understand it's not this. It's God with us. And I'm using this for that purpose. My hope is that you see that being in the Word and not just letting it be the thing that you check off and move on, but it's the thing where you're actually pressing. And I will assure you, and it's likely in your case as well, when the waters do our family worship, or when I sit down to do my time with the Lord, there isn't a light that comes in on over heaven and a bird comes and lands on the windowsill and chirps and everything is peaceful and tranquility. No, it's usually a war. When the kids were there, it had the same kind of war that you guys are dealing with, and many of you do. And even in the mornings when I get up, I'm just trying to stay awake most of the time. So keep my eyes open and keep moving because I know I need to get into the day. So it's not often easy, but it's good. And the Lord shapes us and makes us in those times. And so one or two of these probably wouldn't make a big difference, but having books and books of these, I trust that the Lord has used that to sustain me. And Lord willing, we'll be able to sustain you as well. If you're looking for a place to start, start with reading Psalm 10 every morning this week. That'll be a good place to start. Let me pray, because when that door opened a minute ago, the kids were wailing. So I'm hoping that was because they were excited about something Nick Rudd was teaching, or we're going to have to go rescue Nick Rudd and he's tied up in the corner somewhere. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word and for your spirit, for your congregation. You encourage us and you stir us to be faithful and to honor you. And we thank you, Father, that you've spoken to us and that we're able to not only hear your word preached and read, but we're also, Father, able to read your word and to place our finger on the verses and to beg and plead for you to accomplish these things. Arise, O Lord, I pray. Show yourself to be both strong and wise today. As we've gathered, that you will do this for your namesake and for your glory. And that when we leave here today, Father, it will not simply be that we've grown in our understanding or that we have enjoyed the fellowship with one another. But Father, I pray that today when we leave here, we will be able to know that we've met with you, our God, and that you've been good to reveal yourself to us. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.